84 years, the church has been setting aside the second Sunday in May to celebrate motherhood and recognize moms. And so in that great American tradition, we want to do that here, as we've already begun to in our service. And I want to give you a chance to get the ball rolling here by telling me what you appreciate about your mom. And I know that makes a lot of moms uncomfortable, because most moms I've met don't feel like they've done the perfect job being a mother. And I mean, there are a few moms that think they have perfect kids, but not many that think they've been the perfect mom. And yet, in all that imperfection, I certainly think most of us can look at our moms and say there's a lot we appreciate about what they've done and who they are. So why don't we just throw it out? Tell me, what do you appreciate about your mother? We have one right up here in the front trying to speak to us about that. Glad mom brings me to church. How old is that one? Is that our winner? 2 months. Well, that's pretty close. What was our winner in this service?
15 days.
Yeah, that's hard to beat. Yes, what do you appreciate about your mother, Dave? Yeah, the difference between right and wrong. That's, moms are good at that. Taught me with a paddle, a purple paddle. Didn't you? That was Dad's job, she said. Jason, what do you appreciate about your mother?
My mom did the best she could with what she had.
Okay. What do you appreciate about your mom? Okay.
Patience.
Patience, yeah. Moms have that, don't they? Lots of. What do you appreciate about your mother? Yes. She's very understanding. Moms are generally understanding. Yes?
She's
always there. Good. In the back? Never gave up on you. That's good. Over here.
Unconditional love.
Unconditional love. Yeah, JD.
Notes in your lunch.
Aw. You can get the wind knocked out of you for that. But she did it anyway. I know your mother. She is the sweetest. Yes?
Lots of patience and the ability to not react to anything.
Okay. Even keeled. Great. In the back. Yeah, that's a very important thing to appreciate about your mom. In the back.
A good babysitter.
And doesn't charge either, huh? That is a great thing. Yes?
Mom is a great encourager.
An encourager. Yeah, that's good. Gene, way in the back. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yes. That's a good one. Always told you the truth. Yes. Courage and faith. Good. Yes. Yeah. I wish my mom would have done a better job with my older brother on that one. Yes.
Freedom to grow.
Gave you space. That's good. Yes.
I appreciate all the sacrifices my mother made for
me. 6 kids. That's a lot of sacrifices. Definitely. What do you appreciate about your mom? Yeah.
Best friend.
Oh, that's very special. Good. What's that?
Caring.
Good. Over here.
We never complain. All things she did, she never complained.
Really? Wow. Yes.
The food.
She made a lot of food, a lot of good food. I hear you. Yes. Yeah. Love the son-in-laws, the same as the daughters. Good. Yes. Yeah, unconditional love and always listening. Good. What else do you appreciate about mom? This is good. We just go the whole time with this. Yes. A what? Gave you a little brother. Well, that. You're such a good guy. I wish my brother would have thought that. Yes.
In the.
Not giving in to what the other kids' mothers would let them do. Yeah, that's good. Definitely. It takes courage for moms to do that, doesn't it? Definitely. Yes?
She was an incredible role model.
A role model. Definitely. Yes?
My mom accepted everything that came into our lives, good or sometimes tragic, as having come through first the hands of a loving father.
Yeah. Wow. Are you a preacher? He's got a great voice and he wore a tie today, so I thought, this guy's got to be a preacher. Yeah, in the back. What's that? A sense of humor. Yes, moms need that. Yes. Yeah. Definitely. Damon.
Ah.
You're trying to score points here, aren't you, with your... Was he trouble? Was Damon a lot of trouble? Was he a good kid, really? Tell me the truth. Yeah. Wow. Well, we're working on him here. Yeah. Yes. Drew. A servant. Good. Yes, yes. Right. Yeah. How many of your moms have passed away already? Where are your hands? Yeah. Mother's Day kind of brings a lot into perspective if your mom's already gone, to think of all that she did. Good. Yes?
I just wanted to say
that. Yeah. Yeah, and I think that shows in moms that just... Obviously, their kids bring joy to them and reciprocates wonderful attitudes and feelings in the house. Definitely. Yeah, in the back.
My mom brought me to America.
To America. From where?
College.
Really? That's a good move. I've never been to Holland, but I mean, you know, from what I read. Yes?
My mom had a strong desire to make up for lost time.
Yes. Very good. Yes? She'd make you do good in school, and you appreciate that. And well, then you're very mature for your age. How old are you? 11. So that means you won't complain about her having you to do homework this week or any of that. All right. We've got it on tape. Yes. For being herself, what do you mean by that? Yeah, the whole thing. Good. Yes? Yeah. Yeah. Moms can bring the ethereal into the practical and model that for their kids. Yes? Never missed a game. Wow. That's great. That's dedication. Yes, in the back. Yeah, been there for you. They'll always take the call. They don't screen the calls on their kids. Have you noticed that? Well, at least my mom doesn't. She picks up when it's me. So, yes? Yes, adoptive mom. How many adoptive, in other words, you're a mom and you adopted children. Yeah, that's a special thing. Fantastic. Good. Yes? Yeah, privacy. Good. Yes? Yeah, for those single moms. How many of you were raised in a home where your mom was a single mom? Those are special moms there, aren't they? My wife grew up in that situation and definitely takes a lot of extra strength. Yes? Yeah, that's great. Uh-oh. What's that? All right. Well, that's good. I didn't want to cut that short because that was so good. I've just got four things I want to point out just from example that most of you can probably affirm And then quickly, just use it as a lesson for us, and we don't have time to develop all these points, but I at least just want to show you, there's some things that I think God kind of hardwires into moms when they have little children. And those four things that I want to point out this morning are things that I think we as a church need to emulate in our Christian life. First of all, I think it's obvious that most moms, even before Junior sees the light of day, they become adjusted in their life to be someone who seeks to do things for their kids. I mean, even in pregnancy, right? They're not eating on their own schedule anymore. They're not sleeping on their own schedule. The baby's kind of this built-in target of their interest and their concern. They become, in every real and biblical sense, a servant to their children. And if we want to just scan through our memory banks and some of the things you just said, moms are servants. They give of themselves for their children. They're selfless in their service, maybe not all the time. And I know moms say, well, I wasn't perfect and I wasn't always selfless. They exemplify, though, just in taking home that child and caring for those children, a sense of selflessness that is the cornerstone of what it means to be a servant. And there is nothing higher in the Scripture for us to be compared to than a servant. Did you know that hundreds of years before Jesus Christ ever came, He was called the servant? That's what the prophets looked forward to, the coming, suffering servant of Christ. And when Jesus showed up, He came on the scene and He said what? I didn't come to be served. I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many people. And moms, in so many practical ways, innately start to serve those little children through those, you know, 17, 18 years they give of themselves while that child's in the home, and years beyond that, they give of themselves as servants to their kids. And I'm telling you, if there's one thing the church needs today, it's to emulate every individual in the church, to emulate the model of servanthood. Let me have you jot down a reference if you've taken any notes today. And that first point that we need to see ourselves, consider ourselves servants, just jot down this reference. Romans chapter 15. Verses 2 and 3, where it gives us the example of Christ, that He was our great example of not seeking to please ourselves, but seeking to please others. And so it is that we should not seek to please ourselves. Jot down this reference too, just for the sake of time. I'll give it to you and I'll read it to you. 1 Corinthians 10:24. Here's a mind-blowing principle from Scripture. It says that everyone should have this mindset, that no one should seek his own good, but everyone should seek the good of others. If there's one thing the non-Christian world lacks, and it will never be able to grasp, it's that there should be a community of people that reflect this mom paradigm, that all of us should come together as a body and seek to be servants. Think about that, a place where everyone's trying to be like mom. How can I serve you? What can I do? How can I be a blessing to you? And it's countercultural because in our day, we're so used to being receptacles. We want to be the target of God's blessing. We sometimes in the morning get up and take our Bibles out and read it because we want God to bless us. We'll come to church because we want to hear a good sermon that'll give us the tools for living. We buy a Christian book because it'll answer questions that we have. We pray to God because we want Him to bless our lives. And that mentality is really short-sighted. God calls us to a much higher level, to be like moms are and have been for centuries, givers and servants. If you're going to be blessed, it's for a purpose. And you ought to begin to think that way. If God blesses me, it's so that I can be a blessing to people in the body of Christ. And of course, moms have targets there, those little people in their house that they seek to be servants for. But as a church, we all ought to be coming to church seeking to be servants to one another. I think moms also, just innately, looking at the role that God spells out for them in the Bible, it's clear that God has given to moms the priority of people. Their children are their priority. That is their task. That is their job. In the Bible, that's what a mom's job is. It's the kids. And so it is in the church, just to lop that over into general principles in Scripture, and I think you can affirm this if you know your Bible, that God is calling us as Christians to stop investing so much of our time in material things, so much of our time in stuff, so much of our time in tasks, and to focus on doing for people. That's what's going to last. 100 million years from now, the souls of people will last. We will put on immortality and we will last. The things, the toys, the material stuff, the bank accounts, that's all going away. 2 Peter 3 says, everything in this world that's tangible will be destroyed. And what's left is going to be God, His Word, and His people. And so we should be folks that focus on people. And in a church that lives as a counterculture to the world we live in, we need to start putting aside all the commercialism and the crassness of our day and start to say it's not about stuff and it's not about status and it's not about houses and cars and everything else. It's about people. And if we could just focus more of our time and our attention, like moms do, on people, we would reflect a godly paradigm. And I think if you'd look to the passage that I printed on the worksheet, if you've got that out, I want to show you how moms, really, godly moms, Christian moms, can hand off the most important thing of all. You have your Bibles open or that worksheet out? It's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. It says in 2 Timothy 1, 5, as Paul begins to reminisce about Timothy's background and his heritage, he says, "I've been reminded of your sincere faith. You have a real, genuine trust in God. You really do follow Christ." He says, "I know that, but it first lived in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Godly moms pass on the most important thing of all, their faith and confidence and trust in Christ. And we've already talked about some ways moms do that. They do it by example. They do it by reading Bible stories to their kids. They do it by teaching their kids to memorize Scripture. They do it by giving them a love for the Bible, giving them a tendency to pray, telling them to go back to the throne of God for help in times of trouble, to put God as number one in their lives. Moms do that. Godly moms do that. And as they pass the faith on from one generation to the next, look at the Apostle Paul in chapter 2, verse 1, in that same passage near the bottom. Paul takes on that role in Timothy's life, and he calls him, Timothy, his son. Well, he's not his son. Well, not his biological son, but he's much like his mother, and I think comparing himself to Eunice. And he's saying, "I have passed on my faith to you. I've built into your life the things that are good." Look back up, if you would, at chapter 1, verse 13. It says right about in the middle of that text that I printed there for you, "What you've heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard this good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." Paul says, much like Eunice has deposited this faith in you by transferring it from one generation to the next, Paul says, "I've jumped right on the same bandwagon, and I've assumed a role of trying to invest in someone else's life the things that are most important, faith in Christ." And I think for us, if we're going to learn from moms, just a real simple lesson this morning, it's not only that we ought to be servants and keep people as our priority, but I think we need to work hard to pass on our faith. We need to be people that say, if I'm growing in Christ, it's not so that I can just sit there and grow in Christ. It's so that I can help others grow in Christ. I can pull them to the next level of spiritual maturity and growth. I can take the things that I'm learning and I can deposit them and entrust them to other people. Are you doing that? Moms do that. Moms are built to do that. Their minds are wired to do that. And if they're godly moms, they're wired to take the most important things and entrust them to their kids, their faith in God. What about us? We ought to be doing the same thing. We can learn from mom and say, that is really important in my interaction and fellowship and relationships with other Christians. Am I taking what God is teaching me, and am I entrusting it like a good deposit into the lives of others? And I think this passage is wonderful as you see that Paul didn't just start with his mother, but he starts back before that. Lois, and then Eunice, and then Timothy is the recipient of this wonderful, sincere faith that's been passed along. But as Paul begins to talk about Timothy in chapter 2 as his son, notice how he doesn't want to pass stuff on to Timothy as the end of the line. Look at verse 2. It says, "The things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, go ahead and entrust those then to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others also." Do you catch the progression here? Lois goes to Eunice, and Eunice passes on to Timothy, and Paul jumps in like Eunice and says, "Timothy, you're like my son, and I'm passing on to you the important things of the Christian life, but I don't want them to stop there." And really, wise Far-sighted moms are good at not raising good kids. They seek to raise good moms and dads. They seek to raise good adults. And so it is in the Christian life. We're not just trying to create people in our sphere of influence who learn all the things that we have been taught by God. If we're wise, we seek to have the people in our sphere of influence that know Christ be teachers of others, so that when I entrust the things that God is doing in my life to them, they're conditioned by how I train them to be able to entrust this to other people too. He says, the things you've heard from me, he says, entrust these to reliable men so that those reliable men will be able to teach others also. Paul to Timothy, Timothy to reliable guys into the lives of others, and you can just, by inference, go right on down the line. And as one insightful Christian writer once put it, Christianity as a whole is always one generation away from extinction. Because real Christianity is modeled and it is passed on from one generation to the next, not just in our biological families, but more importantly in our spiritual families. And so the question for you, just as a quick glance off of the template of divine motherhood, if you will, we need to stand back and say, am I a servant? Are people really my priority? Am I working to entrust in the lives of other people my faith? And am I creating servants, or am I just creating students who love to grow in their life? Am I creating spiritual brats, if you will, or am I creating people that realize that they're conduits of God's goodness, not just receptacles? If we would just do that, I think we could not only spend our time this morning recognizing moms, but we can put those simple four lessons to work in our lives and say, we want to be that. We want to be conduits, servants. We want to be people who make people our priority. We want to pass on our faith, and we want to make sure that we're creating disciples who reproduce. Moms, happy Mother's Day. We just made this a real short morning for you so you can get in the front of the line at the restaurant. Just in closing, why don't you stand, everyone, with me, and I'll dismiss us in prayer. Thanks for coming and spending a few moments of your Mother's Day with us, and let's just entrust the rest of our day to Christ. Pray with me, please. God, we thank you that for the last 84 years in our country, we have taken time to honor our mother in a public way in our church services. It all started in the church. It was all a part of really living out the important requirement in the Bible to honor our father and mother. And we're just so grateful for the chance that we have to publicly take a Sunday out of our schedule to do that. And many of us here, most of us, I would assume, if not all of us, have so much to be thankful for as we look back on our moms and what they've done for us. But God, we don't want to just look at that and celebrate it today. That would be a good thing, but it wouldn't be a great thing. I think the greatest thing would be to learn from that template, that you have actually set up this analogy in Scripture, this paradigm that much like our moms are to us as servants who have people as their priority, who pass on their faith, who create servants, ought to be the model and pattern of our lives. Help us, God, not to worry so much about the past, but to worry much more about our future, that we might be reflecting this kind of divine paradigm in our relationships with other people. Make us more relational. Make us people that really are willing and excited to pour our lives into the lives of others, just like our moms have done for us. God, thanks for this wonderful day of celebration. Dismiss this crowd now with your blessing, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen.